KWVA Eugene.
The views expressed on this program are not necessarily the views of KWVA Radio or the Associated Students of the University of Oregon. Anarchy Radio is an editorial collage providing analysis and opinions of John Zerzan and the community at large.
Howdy. Just like that. Just, okay, here we are. Anarchy Radio. My name is Rob Los Ricos. I'm filling in for John Zerzan, who has been attending the Feral Visions Gathering somewhere in Arizona. Up in the mountains, though, so it hasn't been too hot. I'm sure it's been nice and cool, and everyone's been having a grand time. And hopefully there were no fist fights, and no one got thrown over the cliff that I know is there that falls off about 3,000 feet. We're hoping everyone got out alive. There were no horrible factional fighting going on. No reports of gunshots, as far as I know. I probably would have heard about that by now. So it looks like everyone probably got out okay at the Feral Visions Gathering. All right, John, welcome back to Eugene if you're listening. And here we are, flying by the seat of our pants here. Yeah. And the studios. Carl's here, as usual. Or I'd be totally lost without him because I know nothing of this digital kind of stuff that they have in their station. Back when I was doing radio,
yeah, we're all swanky.
We had just little old-fashioned cranky pod things, and it was fun. It was great, and I enjoyed it. And radio's a blast. Anyone that's never done radio, just you ought to volunteer someplace because it's a blast. And I'm having a good time already. We're only 5 minutes into it, though. This could be horrible. This could be a train wreck happening here. But we're going to plug away at it anyways. Been having a grand time. Okay, for people who don't know who I am, my name is Rob Los Ricos. I've been an anarchist, activist type person for the past 30 some years. Starting in school when I was but a grade schooler in fifth grade, started up our activism. We took over our school and forced the Catholic Church to make many concessions to us, and had a grand old time for the fifth and sixth grade, at which time we passed beyond the scope of the educational services provided by the Catholic Church and went into public school. And that was quite a shock to me, and it was actually I enjoyed it. Yes, activism continued through the 80s, during the Reagan era, and combating all of his insane policies, his many proxy private wars that were raging around the world in Angola, Central America, various other places where they basically were trying to either covertly or maybe more directly trying to influence people and governments to comply to their will and their liking. Very tumultuous time. And while at the same time, of course, plundering the economy for their own personal gain, the Bush family heavily involved in that, not only in Texas, but also Colorado and various other places. I'm sure if you want to look at the whole story, you can find it all on the internet. I left Dallas, Texas, where I was involved with a lot of the anti-Reagan stuff, and moved to Austin, Texas in 1990, and just basically threw myself into the midst of a group of anarchists that were already busy in the area, and started organizing things there. Of course, Bush, the successor to Reagan, the Reagan-Bush era, I like to call it. We were very much opposed to the policies of the Bush regime, and were very vocal about it there in Austin, and actually had a lot of fun. Those were my last days of activism, because despite the fact that we had some spectacularly huge anti-war protests in Austin and also across the country and around the world, they went forward with their little war over Kuwait, and we all know how the story went with that. And actually, maybe we all don't, but the whole project of turning the Middle East into a radioactive wasteland began then, when they started using depleted uranium at a large extent and just polluted the heck out of Kuwait and southern Iraq with depleted uranium. And now it's just blowing around there. And then they did it the same when they went to Afghanistan. And now they're looking to connect the dots there between Afghanistan and Iraq is Iran. Yes, I'm not going to say the cliche. You can well imagine yourself. But there is Iran between Afghanistan and Iraq. And it looks like they want to go to war with Iran. And all kinds of stuff's kicking off over there in the Middle East. And I haven't been keeping up with it nearly well enough. But it seemed like the military invasion is not going as smoothly as the Israelis had hoped. They're meeting horrible resistance from the Hezbollah. And Hezbollah is also able to launch offensive attacks against Israel. And, well, just the stuff is flying back and forth over there. So, like I say, I can't give you any like up-to-date information other than just knowing it's just bloody, it's awful, and a lot of civilians are just being blasted left and right. Gee, it's just like the Reagan era all over again right there. It's just like, yeah, just talking about it now, I'm just stuck in a little time warp here now. But to get to the present day, I came to Eugene June 16th, 1999, and to attend a anarchist gathering that was happening on the University of Oregon campus. And that happened for a couple of days, and we met a lot of interesting people. It was my introduction to John Zerzan. I met him during those days. And decided to stick around for the weekend. There was going to be the Reclaim the Streets Festival on June 18th, on Friday, as a way of protesting the policies of the G8, who were meeting at that time in Cologne, Germany, that very day, June 18th. And people were supposed to have solidarity rallies, actions, and so forth on that day around the world. In your local community, you're supposed to organize something. So I went to the local one here in Eugene because I happened to be in town. I was living in Southern Oregon at that time, very remote and kind of isolated out in the forests and enjoying life a lot after having a really rough time in the city in the days preceding that. Portland being the city, and it wasn't Portland's fault, it was my fault. I just want to exonerate Portland there from any guilt might be associated with what I was going through at the time. It was not Portland at fault, it was me. So anyways, after hiding out in the woods for a while, went back into the city being Eugene this time, got involved in what became a riot, a day-long running street battle with the Eugene Police Department, which had interesting aspects. The most interesting to me was my arrest and subsequent conviction of assaulting a police officer and rioting on June 18, 1999, which led to 7 years of incarceration. And those 7 years have just passed for me, and I was released on June 29th this summer. And I've been running around like crazy, having a blast, doing all kinds of things, and just very much enjoying life. And had no idea things were going to be so good for me. And people have been so welcoming to me. I've been traveling around to Portland and Seattle, and maybe probably going to be doing a little bit more traveling within Oregon, meeting people and that have been writing to me and wishing me luck and giving me a little bit of solidarity and support throughout my incarceration, and finding out kinds of projects that have been taking place in my absence and my inability to interact with my fellow travelers and comrades and compañeros and compañeras on the streets. And I'm really enjoying what I'm finding out, and I'm enjoying meeting people, and it's been great. And this would be a great time for our engineer to interrupt with questions and comments to help me stretch this out a little bit, because we got a ways to go here. I got some announcements, but we'll get to those here in a few minutes.
Oh, yeah, we should go with the announcements.
Okay.
When in doubt, always go with an announcement.
Okay, well, I think since I've been talking about myself, there is, I'm having like a kind of shindig coming up on Saturday the 26th of August at the Jawbreaker. The Jawbreaker, I can give the address right? The Jawbreaker is at 415 Monroe Street. That's just off of 5th Street on Monroe. And it's an outdoor facility. It's basically in the backyard of this building. And we're going to have like a homecoming event celebration for me there on the 26th, and we'll be showing some films that have information about June 18th, both here in Eugene, and hopefully a little bit of information about what happened internationally that day, because it was a huge international day of protest, and the financial districts and capital cities of many nations around the world got shut down that day, and a massive global show of support for one another, and in opposition to the policies of the G8 nations, the richest nations and most industrial nations of the world, and their policies of how they are going to divvy up the world's resources amongst themselves and basically just have their way with everyone. Yeah, pretty heinous. So anyways, the 26th, I would love to meet people in the area, and anyone who knows about me and knows about my case, has read about it or attended a number of events that have happened in solidarity organized by local people here in Eugene. You've been around and you know who I am. Please, I would love to meet you. The 26th would be the opportunity to do that at the Jawbreaker. Okay, and in the meantime, between now and then, there's going to be opportunity to show some support to a local young man named Jeff Hogue. Jeff Hogue apparently does some caretaking, some kind of medical caretaking. I guess he's a caretaker at some medical facility. I'm sorry, I don't have a lot of information about him in front of me right now. But he's currently being held in jail in Grants Pass for refusing to testify at a federal grand jury investigation where they were asked him to testify, and he refused to answer any questions. They are holding him in contempt of court, contempt of the grand jury, which is not necessarily a court, and not necessarily legal in Western jurisprudence, but it's, I guess they make special provisions for it. It's been outlawed. The practice of grand juries has been banned in Great Britain because of outcry from the local population, and by golly, it's about time to do that here too. I don't know of anyone working on that, but that's definitely a project worthy of taking on, banning grand juries. Jeff Hoag has a hearing coming up on the 15th at the federal courthouse here in Eugene. This will be his first time back in Eugene since he's been transferred out to Grants Pass. And his hearing will be the first time that he's had a chance to see any well-wishers or get some public support or see his family since he was taken into custody on May 18th. It's been a long while for him to be held for not doing anything illegal. He's not broken any laws. He's not been charged with a crime. And he has not been found guilty of any crimes. He is being held in contempt of a grand jury, and that's not necessarily illegal. So 11 a.m. at the federal courthouse on Tuesday, August 15th, Jeff Ho will be back in town, and that'll be that then. And coming up later, I'm not sure what the date is on this. I believe Jeff Hoag's birthday is actually the 18th of this month, and there's going to be a benefit rummage sale for him. And the location for that has not yet been determined, but people are encouraged to call 541-556-3392 for more information for the Jeff Hoag benefit. If you have items you would like to drop off to sell for him on his behalf to help his family out, since he's been incarcerated and they've not had much income, and we're asking for, you know, they're asking for donations there, and for his 18th of the weekend of the 19th and 20th. Number to call for that for more information is 541-556-3392. And if you would like to write to Jeff Hoag, the address at the jail where he's being held is 1901 Northeast 1st in Grants Pass, Oregon, 97526. Well, you know something? I couldn't read that address very well on the website I had. I wasn't sure exactly what it said. I interpreted it as saying 1901 Northeast 1st, Grants Pass, Oregon. If I have that information wrong and someone knows about that, maybe you could call here and correct us. The number here at the station is 346-0645. And I think I have that address right, but I'm not 100% sure. If someone does know the address and has it right, you can call me. And if you know that the address is right, call anyways, and we'll make sure we get it out one more time and get that right address, and we'll make sure you know that it's the right address.
That's the right address, 1901.
1901 Northeast 1st?
It says Northeast F.
Okay, I'll take that. Okay, 1901 Northeast F. That's what it said, but it said F est. So I took that to maybe they didn't spell out first.
I'm looking at the Josephine. This is the Josephine County adult jail.
Josephine County jail. Okay.
Okay, yeah, that's 1901 Northeast F Street.
F Street.
F is in Frank.
Franklin, Frank, F. Okay, and that's in Grants Pass, Oregon, 97526. Jeff Hoag, if you want to send him a little card or letter, let him know you're thinking about him and that he's someone you admire and respect a lot. Speaking of people you admire and respect a lot, someone who I have a great deal of admiration and love in my heart for is Jeff Lures. He's apparently still in the hole at OSP. He's in the hole because the hole is a disciplinary segregation unit, and it's where they put you to punish you and take you out of general population for a short time and pretty much isolate you from outside contact. You can't make phone calls except for to your lawyer, and maybe only once. And the only visits you can have are from people who are blood relatives or spouses. So not being married, Free is pretty much in isolation right now, and all he's getting is cards and letters from the outside. And if you want to write free, you can write to Jeff Lures, number 13797671. I'll give this whole all the information out again after I'm finished with. That's Jeff Lures, number 13797671, at OSP, 2605 State Street, Salem, Oregon 97310. And I just came off with that off the top of my head. I don't have it written down. I was there for 5 years. Free and I were there at the yard together for a number of years. I got to know him pretty well. I didn't know him before I came into prison. He's a remarkable young man. I have a lot of love in my heart for this fellow, a lot of respect. He's just very exemplary of what we could expect the best of our side to be like. Okay, I'll give that address again. It's Jeff Lures, number 13797671. That's at OSP, 2605 State Street, Salem, Oregon 97310. And Free could always use cards and letters, just letting him know that he's inspiring you, that you see what a great strong spirit he is and what a great strong heart he has, and just let him know that you're there for him, that you admire and respect and possibly love him if you know him. And whether or not he writes back, he reads all of his mail. He doesn't write as much as he used to. He's got a lot of things going on for himself that he's got going in prison to help him get through the day and to get into routine and interact with the other prisoners. And it doesn't leave him a lot of time for writing anymore. So send him a card or a letter and just let him know you're thinking about him, and whether or not you expect a reply, you know, should be irrelevant at this point. Just let him know he's going through a lot and you're there for him if he needs you. All right, and speaking of people still that love, respect, and admire a lot, Rod Coronado was sentenced to 8 more months in custody just yesterday in a court hearing. I'm not sure. I don't have a lot of information. I just saw like a brief one paragraph mention in Portland Indy Media saying that he got sentenced to 8 months. We're not sure if it's federal or state time, or if he's going to be held in county jail on like a PV. And we don't have an address for where he can be written to yet, but if you keep looking at the Portland Indy Media site under political prisoners and look for Rod Coronado, they'll have contact information for him as soon as they can get it. And that's 8 months, and he has been told that he's going to have 3 years of probation following these 8 months incarceration. And during these 3 years of probation, he is not to have any contact or to write for or in any way communicate with anyone associated with the ELF, Earth First, or the ALF, which is, you know, I'm sure there are expansive subheadings under that don't necessarily ring true necessarily as far as that level of action, but there might be other groups that he is going to be banned from contacting, and that they're trying to isolate him. And if he's the man I think he is, and I think he is, he's probably not going to let them tell him what he can do and where he can go and who he can associate with. So he needs a lot of support. And like I say, you just keep checking with the Portland Indy Media site, and they'll have information contacting him or how to show support for him very shortly, as soon as they can. And are we ready to go to music? Because I could use a break right now.
Yeah, we can do that anytime.
Okay, let's just do that. We're going to take a little musical break, and I'm going to take a little swallow of water, and we'll be right back.
Sweet, this was the Motorhead tune, right?
This is the Ace of Spades by Motorhead.
We'll be right back. way I like it, baby. I don't wanna live forever. And don't forget the Joker.
The views expressed on this program are not necessarily the views of KWBA Radio or the Associated Students of the University of Oregon. Anarchy Radio is an editorial collage providing analysis and opinions of John Zerzan and the community at large.
Only John Zerzan is not here tonight. My name is Rob Los Ricos. I'm an anarchist from Texas and now living in Oregon, especially here in Eugene and Lane County, by order of the court. And I tell you, I had great misgivings about living in Eugene, not being familiar with the town, and not really knowing anyone here. Since I've been here and been traveling around, I get to appreciate the uniqueness of Eugene more and more. And I really feel at home and at ease here now. And I didn't think that would happen as quickly as it has. But I tell you, a weekend in Seattle made me miss Eugene so much. It was so crowded. I mean, just finding a place to park could take like a half an hour. It was awful. And the streets were crowded. And even though there was all kinds of cool places to go and all kinds of people that I met that were just like really great people, I really felt a little bit out of place up there and was really glad to be able to get back to Eugene when I finally did. It felt good to be here, and it feels good to be here now. I guess I want to talk a little bit more about what happened in Seattle, and maybe I should start all the way back from the beginning. Since I've been released from prison, I've been trying to go around and meet people that have written or gotten projects in a started that they feel like I am similarly minded as they are and so forth, and have been meeting a lot of well-wishers and prisoner supporters in the days since I've been out. I've only had a couple of public events so far where I've gone and had people come and greet and maybe had a chance to talk to them and talk a little bit about myself and my incarceration. And they've been very well attended, surprisingly, and they've been very rewarding for me to be able to share information with people and to meet people who are involved in the same things that I think are important as far as issues and actions to be taken and so forth. So the first event I had was at Laughing Horse Books in Portland. They have like a semi-new location. I don't know how long they've been in this spot, but definitely not too long ago they were at a different spot, apparently the neighborhood is being gentrified and the prices were going up, and they decided they couldn't afford it anymore, so they moved to a different location, which is actually a lot more convenient, conveniently located, and it's a nice welcoming space they have, even though it's awfully hot in the summertime on summer nights. I had a great turnout there, about somewhere 30, 40 people showed up. We had a nice little party afterwards, and it was good to see people in the audience who I actually had known for a number of years and had a chance to interact with before my incarceration and coming out to give me like a big welcome out, and coming over and drinking beer with me and eating some incredible vegan pizza, and just being very hospitable and supportive of me and trying to get my act together now that I'm out in the real world again. And I tell you, it's been a challenge. It's, without all the support and without all the well-wishers and without all the love and attention I've been getting, I think things would be very different for me. And I'm really, really, really happy with the way things are going. And it seems like everywhere I go, especially in the early days after my release, I was having a better day than anyone, to the point where people were resenting seeing me with my big glowing smile and just wanting to, like, you know, have a laugh, and with everyone I saw, you know, the cashiers at the the grocery stores or the you know, the convenience stores, and just anyone that just happened to pass my way, just like a big smile and big greeting, and like just having the best time of anyone in the world. And let's see. The only other public event I've done so far was another chance to greet people and talk a little bit about my experiences in Seattle at the Wayward Cafe. And one of the people that are heavily involved in it, Sean, allowed me and my manager at the moment, Marlena, to crash at his place for a couple of days while we stayed in Seattle and had a dinner with several other people a few nights later. Sean and Sean were just very welcoming to us in their little home, and we had a blast. We had a blast meeting people. Some of the people who showed up at the Wayward Cafe event do a zine called A Murder of Crows, a new insurrectionary type of zine. They're coming out of Seattle, and they're coming definitely on a insurrectionary kind of note. I'm going to read you a little bit from the introduction of A Murder of Crows' first issue, which just came out this spring. We do not assume that our world is inevitably heading towards a liberatory transformation of social relations. Misery, work, starvation, slavery, war, and ecological degradation are present on a scale never before seen. Why would we think we could have any effect upon this state of affairs? How could we believe that we can change the ever-escalating rush towards a bleak future of greater social control and ecological collapse? Because we are unwilling to lie down and eat feces while we are around. If there is a choice between cynicism and helplessness or determined and focused attack on the present institution of domination, we choose the latter. Definitely strong words there from the introduction to this new zine called A Murder of Crows. They're a bunch of great guys, presented me with a tremendous gift, a used laptop computer with a wireless card. So I'm like, you know, I'm cyber ready to go anywhere. And, you know, being a person whose main contact with the outside world was through writing and writing for publication often, now having this tool available to me, who had no computer previously to this moment, it's just a great gift, and it's going to help me a lot. And these guys are really really a great bunch of guys. they showed me around a forest park in Seattle, where they just decided to pave a road around this area, this peninsula, and just leave it untouched for people to hike through and stuff. And it was pretty nice. And they were nice enough to hike through there with me and take me to an Ethiopian dinner that was just astoundingly good. Thanks a lot, guys. You're wonderful. Okay, let me just give you the information about these people. Let's see, their P.O. Box, their mailing address is P.O. Box 20442, Seattle, Washington, 98702. And if you wish to check out their website, it is www.geocities.com/A Murder of Crows 1. That's A Murder of Crows, the number 1, not spelled out, the number 1. and you should be able to find that fairly easy. And I found their website just by putting a Murder of Crows in on Google, and they took the first thing that popped up was that very website, their very own home website. It's an excellent magazine they have there. It's got some articles about things happening around the country and around the world, most notably Latin America. And I don't have a copy of it with me, which is an oversight on my part. I'm ill prepared for this, even though it seems like we're burning through the hour pretty quickly. I was pretty impressed by their first issue, and it'll be interesting to see if they can keep up that kind of energy and determination that they show in their first issue. But considering the company they keep and the ideas that they share, I'm sure that they're capable of doing this, and I think we have a really powerful new publication that we can keep an eye on and get ideas from. Another good project I've seen recently is Incendio. Incendio is Una Publicación de Solidaridad y Teoría Latinoamérica, a bilingual journal of Latin American theory and solidarity, coming out of Santa Cruz, California. These people are basically translating texts they think are very exemplary and worthy of wider readership, especially North American audience. Are translating things from Spanish into English, and then publishing both the Spanish language version and the English language version in their zine, Incendio. And I'm going to read a little bit here from them and their introduction. And what I have here is the current issue. It is also the first issue. Welcome to our first issue of Incendio. We are quite excited about this project and the effect it may have. Hopefully it will be useful in creating and strengthening solidarity between those fighting the state and capitalism throughout the Americas. This is a big project that takes a lot of time, and we're just starting to get into the swing of it. So we expect to see the next few issues dramatically improve as our correspondents become more numerous and the journals get wider distribution. We were also a bit rushed with this issue because we wanted to have it ready for the San Francisco Book Fair. Unfortunately, they didn't do that. With each issue, we have decided to pose a question for anarchists in Latin America. And that's Latin American anarchists that they're going to ask questions of. And even though they're willing to listen to what people in North America have to say, I think their focus is trying to get Latin American voices heard in America. So they're basically looking to pose this question to Latin American anarchists. And the question being, what is the relationship of anarchists to national liberation struggles? Blah, 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 blah. They are wanting to pose this question because many times anarchist groups in Latin America work with some kind of shady national liberation groups that maybe don't have such a good reputation in the United States as they do out in the fields. And I'm definitely interested in seeing any responses they get from this. I'm hoping they do. They're talking a little bit about translations. In general, we are seeking content to come from Latin America, but with each issue, we may print something from elsewhere that we think people will appreciate. In this first issue, we have two articles that aren't focused on Latin America. The first essay is about Operation Backfire by the FBI, targeting environmental resistance in the U.S. This is the most widespread sweep and the biggest trial for anarchists in this country for a very long time. The other article included is about Italy, entitled Strangers Everywhere. It is about anarchists in Lecce, Italy, who are accused of actions in solidarity with the Mapuche, a Native American people in Chile and Argentina, who have been resisting development in their territories and wanting to end certain mining activities and other agricultural-based exploitation of the land and what is their ancestral lands, and wanting to get those multinational corporations out of their lands. So anyways, these anarchists in Italy were doing actions in solidarity and have been repressed pretty severely by the Italian government. And apparently they were applying ELF, ALF kind of tactics to show their support for the Mapuche people and Mapuche in South America, knowing that there were Italian businesses that were involved in some of the shady going-ons down there, corporate exploitation of the land down there. So they were showing their solidarity by helping the Mapuche resist Italian corporations and their encroachment into their lands. Good stuff. Above, let's see. But back to the zine here in my hands. Above all, we hope that this publication will serve to better network resistance and inspire action. Okay, their next submission for their deadline for the next issue is September 10th, 2006. Yes, September 10th, 2006 is the deadline.
That's not as far away as it sounds.
I know.
It's not.
I know.
I was just thinking that.
Yeah. And like I say, they're mostly looking for stuff in Spanish or about what's going on in Latin America for wider distribution among the anarchists of North America, the United States and Canada, I'm sure. All we need now is a little French-English publication so that we can communicate better with the Quebecois and in Canada, because there's all kinds of things happening up there that we're just not aware of because it's mostly just reported in the French language, and we're not getting wind of it down here. Okay. Gosh, what else do I have here? I'm just about run out of everything. It's almost too late. Well, we can give the phone number out again. It's 346-0645. And if anyone has any comments or questions that they want to direct my way, because I'm just about done.
we could take a music break. You can come back in a minute.
I don't know. We don't have that long. And
we could just sit here in silence.
Well, let's chat. We can always chat.
Yeah.
It's one thing that was amusing for us while we were up in Portland over the weekend is that what a small incestuous world we have.
Oh here, yeah, yeah.
Here at the anarchist scene.
It's so easy. I'm always running into people I haven't seen for years when I go to Portland, and I'm not in Portland very often.
Right.
Lately, I am. This past year, I've been going up at least once a month.
Mm-hmm.
But I've already reconnected with so many people.
Uh-huh. Well, we were some of the people that I've been in contact with previously that I didn't know before I went into prison. The people at Eberhardt Press. I don't know if you heard of them, Charles and Esther, who run Eberhardt Press. They publish. They're basically publishing books.
They're up in
now. They have their own little printing press, and they do stuff commercially for money, and they use the money they make to publish books.
Oh wow!
And they have several good ones out right now, and I think they're going to be publishing.
Kind of the same thing.
Yes, I was just thinking that. They'll be publishing probably some stuff by Wolfie Landstreicher coming up, and they have some other projects in the works before the end of the year.
Do they have a catalog? Or?
Well, as a matter of fact, they do. I can probably find that information out pretty quick because it's right here, and I just had this.
Wow, it's right inside that copy of Green Anarchy.
That's right. The handy-dandy reference material for all green anarchists everywhere. You should always have this. And I was lucky to find this, or else I wouldn't have anything to say right now. let's see, the Eberhardt Press Review. Let's see, focusing mainly on little-known and original pamphlets and books, they provide printing services to comrades and fellow publishers throughout the world at rates so down-to-earth it would make a professional printer wet himself. And needless to say, they are a wonderful anarchist resource to have in the Northwest. And what they have here is what I'm reading from is a review of the Eberhardt Press Review. It's their in-house publication of reviews, and apparently this is the second issue that they put out of the Eberhardt Press Review. And I believe they're looking through the stuff that they're getting in the mail and some of the stuff, jobs that they're printing for other people, and writing reviews about what they're finding. They have a catalog. Do they have a catalog? Doesn't look like they have a catalog actually available, but you can look at them at eberhartpress.org. And Eberhart is eberhartpress.org. Eberhartpress.org. And their address, if you'd like to write to them and ask them for a catalog, which I'm sure they can just print out something for you. Eberhart Press is 3527 Northeast 15th, number 127, Portland, Oregon, 97212. That's Eberhart Press, 3527 Northeast 15th, number 127, Portland, Oregon, 97212. Really friendly folks there. I'm glad I got a chance to meet them. And it was so funny, like I was saying earlier, that about the, what an incestuous world we have. There was this, we went and we met the people who run Black Rose Info Shop.
Oh, you were telling me about that.
Bookstore and collective there.
It's on Mississippi.
It's on Mississippi Street. I don't have their address handy.
It's,
but
it's like 40 or 41 something.
Yeah, it's right around that area. Yeah. And where they're filming a movie right now.
That's right. The Feast of Love.
Is that the name of the movie?
That's what it's called.
Oh,
yeah.
Goodness.
The guy who was directing it is the guy, this kind of surprised me, the guy that wrote Superman and the guy that wrote
Weird.
And the guy that wrote Kramer versus Kramer and Bonnie and Clyde.
So he's doing porn now.
And now he's doing Feast of Love. It's a porn film starring Morgan Freeman.
Wow. Wow, poor Morgan. How far has he fallen so quickly that he's just reduced to big budget porn movies now? And of course, we have no idea what the movie's about, but it's probably not porn, I'm guessing. we're just running off our mouths. Oh, but like I was saying about it, that the incestuous world of the anarchist, we were talking with this t-shirt I'm wearing, which is a benefit t-shirt in solidarity with the Echo Resistors.
It's a very nice t-shirt.
Yes, thank you. And it is a very nice looking t-shirt. And we were asking the people at the Black Rose info shop where we could get more of these shirts in case we could had opportunities to sell them in support of the Resistors who are on facing trial. And they told us that, well, they came from Portland, Maine, but they knew some people, that the people that had brought it over might have extras, so I could talk to them. And they said, yeah, that, do you know Charles and Esther? And we just had to bust out laughing. It was like, yes, we were just about to go over there and meet them right now. And yeah, it's like, okay, what a small world. And nice. Then it's like, the person I was staying with was telling me about a bicycle collective.
Oh, that's right. The North Portland Bike Works,
right,
run by my friend Kim.
Right, your friend Kim, who was also telling me. You need to go talk to this Kim, this bicycle collective. She probably can kick down some stuff to donate, you know, for sale or for whatever.
Yeah, that place it's a pretty cool place. If did you ended up going there?
No, actually, we ran out of short of time and had to leave.
She's got a nice little shop there. It's been around since about 2002.
Mm.
She's got a bunch of zines in there, mostly bike zines.
Bike related.
Yeah, of course.
Imagine.
Go figure.
Yeah.
No, but there's a few non bike zines. There's a Extra Tough, which is the one about the salmon fisherwoman. Who Mo,
huh,
that's her name. And it's just it's nice. When, you know, the last few times I've gone to Portland, I've stopped in there and had some sort of bike emergency, and North Portland has hooked me up.
Right. Yeah. So it's like, just between like one or two people, just like we all know everyone in that circle now. That circle's like kind of enclosed. Well, it'll be closed when I meet Kim.
There you go.
And then it's like, well, we'll have that whole direct connection. It's like,
we were so talking funny about you yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah, were your ears burning?
Where?
Up in Portland. You must have been in proximity.
Yes, I was.
Because your ears must have been burning.
Well, they weren't, but
that's a bummer. No, we were just talking about this show, because I've been doing it for so long. When I hooked up with Kim again after so many years, was kind of around the time I started.
Right. Cool.
Yep.
Hey, that's interesting. Because, you grew up with her or something, right?
Yeah, we went to high school together.
Yeah.
Back in Illinois.
You just talking about that. That's amazing. That's just amazing. I would totally freak if I ever met someone like went to high school with her. You know, just ran into them, with, you know, out here in the Northwest somewhere. Unless it was in prison. That's like, oh, I remember you. Hey, didn't you go? Yeah. It's like I'm surprised I haven't run into anyone I know in prison. Well, all the much the better for, you know, people like the company I keep, I suppose. I'm absolutely the black sheep of all the circles I run in. Hey, that's why it's good to be in Eugene and like see Critter every now and then. It's like, hey, I remember him. You know, Critter and I were cellies for a while at OSP. We were in the same cell. That was a very interesting time in my life. I really got to appreciate that fellow. I don't know. Some people might have problems with his bluntness, his outspokenness, because he'll tell you what's on his mind. I mean, you'll never have to guess what he's thinking, because he's going to tell you. I love that guy. He's the best. It's just been amazing. Thinking at sometimes that, you know, being so isolated in prison, but then every now and then connecting with someone who's like so totally right on. Okay, yeah, I was looking at track 9 on that disc, right? And wow, we're getting close to the end of the show, and this was not nearly as painful and awful as I thought it was going to be. And I had a blast talking. I've done radio before. I did a little bit of commercial radio in my hometown. That's kind of a long, interesting story, but I guess maybe not that interesting, really. Mel Tillis was buying the radio station.
Whoa!
He was in the process of purchasing that station when I started.
Mel?
When I started working, yeah.
Wow, did you get to meet him?
No, and I kind of hate his guts. Well, see, the thing is that he was going. The writing's on the wall. He's going to make it a country station, and like, you know, there's like about like 98% of the stations in that area are country western stations, and the other 2%, they play country music now and then. You know, so it's like it's almost all country all the time there, and they're gonna. And this station I worked at was a kind of a low power AM station. And they had specialized in playing big band music kind of stuff, music back in the 40s when it started, 30s nice. And 40s. And Bob Wills and the Texas Playboys, I don't know if you know them, the legendary swing band from Texas, was from that area, you know, 90 miles south from us in the Texas Panhandle. And so they're the local boys, done good, you know, blew up worldwide and traveled the world with their music and were big hits.
And Mel didn't like this?
Well, the thing is, we didn't play Western swing anymore. But we did play the regular swing, you know, bebop and jazz, the big band stuff. And on into the later 40s and 50s and 60s with, like, the carryovers from that era, like, say, Perry Como.
Oh, Lawrence Welk.
Andy Williams.
The later Spade Cooley.
Oh, my God. Some of the stuff they played with in the 60s and 70s was probably just wretched, just the most wretched, awful dreck you've ever heard in your life.
Ooh.
But I finally wound up getting into the big band stuff and just started playing that all the time, and I loved it. I just loved it. And the secret to big band music is if you got a big band or an orchestra in the title, you need to dig farther back and get the stuff like the quartet or quintet or sextet, because those guys were smoking
that's
hot jazz
secret.
Combos.
Yeah.
They were smoking all the big band leaders that came out later with their orchestras or the big bands. If you can get their stuff from, like, you know, years before that when they're just playing with like a quartet or quintet, smoking hot jazz, just swinging great stuff. Yeah, all of them, all the bands you could think of, you know. Count Basie or Les Brown or Glenn Miller, anyone you can think of in that era, if you can get their stuff before they had big bands and orchestras, they were smoking hot stuff. Anyways, I wound up getting fired when the deal went through because I wasn't playing country music. Yes, and eventually I wound up using that brief commercial experience to finagle my way into a job as a program director at KNON Radio in Dallas, Texas, a listener-supported non-commercial radio station. and had a blast for probably one of the most exciting years of my life, being the ruler of the airways in Dallas, Texas. And we made a lot of changes in the society there just by being ourselves and allowing our DJs to be human beings on the air and make mistakes and just talk like themselves and not have to do a lot of stuff. Are you ready to get out of this? Let's go ahead and...
Yeah, we have another Clash tune to go out with, right?
Well, let's do that then. And it's been a pleasure sitting here and talking with the people of Eugene. And I hope someone was listening, because I know a lot of people were going to that the event there at the Jawbreaker tonight, the SOMA film and workshop. And I've had a blast. And thanks, Carl, for helping me out here tonight.
I'm sure we'll see you again soon.
Maybe.